The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
God has a miracle for you. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy holy anointing upon this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. And it says here, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came under the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and says unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them so much, the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well." Now, last week I spoke to you about the Syrophoenician woman. I share with you that there are times when you have to break down one wall after another to get your miracle. Today we learn that there are also times when Jesus freely and immediately and gladly gives you a miracle. And from my personal experience of 52 years as a Christian, most miracles I experienced came by little or no human effort, but simply by childlike faith. There's a scripture that tells us that God already knows what we ask for before we ask it, so before we ask it, He has the answer already in the mail. I want you to know that God is a generous God who does not hoard His unlimited resources. He, in most cases, freely and quickly gives His children what they need. This miracle here is none other than Jesus' quick, ready fulfillment of a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, where it says in chapter 35, "The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the tongue of the dumb shall sing." Oh, this fits this story in Mark, doesn't it? Jesus loves to heal, and I go for divine healing unless God tells me otherwise. Here at the Sea of Galilee, people believed in divine healing, so they received divine healing. If you believe it, you're likely to receive it. The Jews have always believed in divine healing, in miracles, and they always believed that with God all things are possible. The whole Testament is full of stories of God doing the impossible. So our text reads in verse 32 here, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf." I cannot help but stop here and remind you and remark on the word they. They. Who are they? Are you one of those theys? They, it says, bring unto him a man with a need. Are you one that has brought people to Jesus? Are you doing it now? Are you in the they crowd who make an effort to bring someone to our Savior for salvation, for healing, encouragement, instruction, and righteousness? This reminds me of the stories of Dwight L. Moody, the evangelist of the last century, who by some scholars' estimates led 1 million souls to Christ directly and millions of others indirectly. While Moody was still a shoe salesman, he rented 2 pews in church every Sunday to bring people to Jesus. He'd gone down the streets and alleys, and he would stop at the marketplaces, and he'd invite people to come to church that they might meet the Master. Oh, my friend, you will never bring anyone to Jesus if you spend your life stewing over your own troubles. Joyce Myers, one of today's most foremost lady evangelists, said, quote, "There was a time when I had me on my mind, when I occupied myself with me," unquote. But then she got sick and tired of me, the me business, and the Lord freed her to bring people to Jesus. I believe that there's a special reward in heaven for those who bring someone to Jesus. When people stop bringing others to Jesus, the church will die. Over and over, we read the multitudes came to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, but most of them who came to Jesus never brought anyone with them. But glory to God for those who bring someone with them to church on Sundays, who not only say, please come, I invite you, but who actually go and pick them up at the house and invite them for dinner after church. Let's go on with our text in Mark. It says, here, my friends, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and he had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. He was a man who could not hear and he could not speak. There are two main means of communications. The one is hearing, the other speaking. He had neither one of them. So this man was deaf and dumb. He was isolated. People like this are excluded from the fellowship of men, and they're written off. But hallelujah, there were two or three who had compassion on this man. They saw him and his needs, and they would not explain, they could not explain to him anything about Jesus because he could not hear. So this man had not heard anything about Jesus. He had no knowledge of Jesus, but they had developed a loving, a trusting relationship with him. And when they signaled to him to follow them, he followed them. And they took him by the arms and brought him to Jesus. Then again, this man knew nothing about what was really going on and what was about to happen. He went to a meeting without being clued in on anything. And so it says in our text that these two men took him, they brought him to Jesus, and they besought Jesus. That is, they prayed to Jesus for Jesus to lay his hands on him. Now, the laying on of hands was an Old Testament time practice of putting a blessing on someone. My friend, I want you to see here there was absolutely no hesitation of Jesus to heal this man. It says in the next verse, and he, that is Jesus, took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. There are times when Jesus had a purpose in doing a miracle in public, and there were times when he had a purpose in doing a miracle in private. Do you hear me? There are some miracles to be told. There are some miracles not to be told. In this particular case, for his own reason, Jesus took this man away from the multitude. He took him aside in order to do a miracle. And then he told him not to tell anybody about this miracle that was done. Some people think that they have to tell everything God did with them and for them. That's not necessarily the case. And there are some things, some wonderful things God does for you that you better keep in storage for a while until God's appointed time. Oh, I like to read this verse again. And he took him aside from the multitude. Or the Amplified Bible says he took him aside privately and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Observe the method by which Jesus healed his man. You never know what Jesus will do, do you? Of course, we have our favorite way of being healed and helped by someone just speaking a miracle into existence. But that's not always the case with the Lord Jesus. For example, one time Jesus put mud on a man's face. There are times when Jesus will put mud in your face to help you. There are times when you will think that you're being humiliated and you're not treated well, and you might get upset, while in reality, Jesus is behind the whole scheme of healing you or of helping you. Can you remember that for a while, my friend? So there was a time when Jesus spat on the ground, and he spat and spat again, and it made a lot of saliva, and he mixed that saliva with the dirt and made mud, and he put that upon the eyes of a blind man. My friend, Jesus will not help you always or seldom the way you want to be helped. It's going to have to be his way. Oh, how we want to be blessed and helped in our way. One of the least favorite ways by which most people want to be healed is by being spat at, by getting somebody spittled in their face or on their tongue. But this was the case here in the story. It says Jesus took this man aside privately and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Let's go on with the story. It says in verse 34, "And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and says unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened." Now, why did Jesus sigh? I believe he sighed because of the immense damage and hurt and trouble that's come upon all of mankind since Adam and Eve sinned. He sighed, I believe, because he felt the pain, the isolation, the loneliness, the hurt of this man in his own heart. But hallelujah, he had authority from God, and he said, Ephphatha, which means open. Aren't you glad for the fact that Jesus can speak with authority? So, and then he conferred his authority on many of his disciples, through whom he then also could and can this day do miracles. This happened, of course, in Matthew, where it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, and to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness." Well, back to our text in Mark, the scripture says, "And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." Have you ever wondered what this man said next, now as he was healed? Can you imagine the first word that could have flown out of this man's mouth? He didn't have to go to a speech therapist. He instantly knew how to pronounce every word in the Aramaic language to perfection. He probably now spoke his own language better than anybody in his country, and he probably could have qualified as a teacher of the Aramaic language because Jesus gave him the speech of his language. I would not be surprised if his first word would have been hallelujah, or his first phrase, glory to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jesus, as we go on, tells him, "Now you don't tell anybody what I've done for you." Isn't that remarkable? Here the Lord did a great miracle. He says to the deaf and dumb, "Be quiet about this." It says he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. I marvel at this. He charged them. That is, those men who brought him and the man who was delivered himself, none of them was to tell the story to anybody. And what I get here, as I read between the lines, these men immediately disobeyed Jesus and began to tell people passing by what happened. It says the more Jesus charged them, the more they told, the more they rebelled against Jesus. Oh, my friend, were these men any better than Adam and Eve, who brought, through their disobedience, brought sin upon the human race? Let me read this verse again to you. "And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it." Whenever Jesus does something for you, whether it's salvation or whether it's the infilling with the Spirit of the Lord or whether it's a healing or some other kind of wonderful blessing, immediately after Jesus does something for you, there's somehow a call to obedience attached to it, a call to self-denial, a call to the cross, so that you will enter at once into discipleship and intimate fellowship with the Lord. But this did not happen in this case. These three men, the healed one and the two who brought him to Jesus, immediately disqualified themselves from becoming disciples of Jesus because they would not obey. Oh, my friend, we have a lot of miracles happening all over the world. Oh, the long rows in some of these miracle meetings of people being healed and healed and healed and healed. But let me ask you, after they're healed, do they then immediately begin to become obedient to every word of Jesus and become his disciples? Tune in again at the same time on the same station next week. I'm Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.